Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
There was a news recently that Biden is planning on issuing an executive order within the next few weeks. So the story that you're going to be talking about here is not that story. This is something else. So Biden is going to be coming out with an executive order about cryptocurrency. Apparently within the next 2 or 3 weeks, there's not much being said about what that's going to mean. They're just teasing it that it's going to happen. But this is something else. This is a bill that someone has put forward. And normally I don't like to speculate on what bills are going to pass and what, you know, isn't. Maybe this thing is going to go down in flames. We have no idea, but it definitely caught our attention. So what's going on?
This is from Bitcoin.com. Says U.S. unveils bill giving Treasury Secretary unchecked and unilateral power to ban crypto transactions, advocate warns. A new bill introduced in the U.S. has a provision that would essentially give the Treasury Secretary unchecked, and that is Janet Yellen, right?
Yeah, she's scary looking.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Unchecked and unilateral power to ban cryptocurrency transactions, warned crypto advocacy organization Coin Center. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will be able to prohibit any crypto transactions without any process, rulemaking, or limitation on the duration of the process. I don't see how she has the ability to do that.
Bitcoin? Bitcoin Cash? Dash? Some of these, you know, standard kind of cryptocurrency cryptos? They cannot be stopped. As long as you've got a cryptocurrency wallet and you're in control of your keys, no one can tell you you can't send a transaction.
It's interesting because it's even more so with things like Monero, right, and Zcash. It adds a layer of anonymity and privacy to your transaction.
Oh, and they hate
that. Yeah, they really hate that.
Yeah, they cannot stop that.
I mean, it's
ridiculous.
It's interesting because Bitcoin kind of gave us control, and then the next generation of cryptos kind of gave us privacy and anonymity, and they're still trying to deal with the control. How do we take back? How does the U.S. government, or how do governments anywhere, you know, take control over it? And they just can't.
Yeah, they can't.
They're failing at it.
They can't. They don't know what to do about the fact that they can't do anything.
Right.
That's really frustrating to them. Now, what they can do, and they will do, is regulate the central exchanges.
Sure.
Because those are easy. They know where they are. They have a location. There's an office somewhere.
They're already registered with the
federal
government.
They're registered with the government. They're sending them paperwork.
I mean, it's interesting because that only works to a certain degree, right? Like, at a certain point, people have it, and there's enough people who have it that it does. You don't need an exchange, right?
The Central Bank of Russia, the CBR, had issued a report summarizing its position on digital assets. And this, according to Cointelegraph.com, proposed a ban on any crypto trading and mining operations in the country. So they were talking about just a straight up ban on all cryptocurrencies. So what else did you find out?
So the story I have here is ban less likely? Putin says crypto mining has its advantages in Russia. So is he promoting it? Putin says that a surplus of electricity and well-trained personnel give Russia a competitive advantage in crypto mining. I could see that too. I mean, they have like really remote areas where they probably have electricity
cheap
generation that isn't being utilized because, you know, those towns don't exist anymore, or they're basically, you know, I mean, the populations have declined because, you know, maybe they were mining towns or, you know, similar. And if your population goes down and you have the surplus of electricity that you're generating anyway, it's going to be cheap.
You got to use it.
Yeah. You got to use it
gone.
Or you lose it.
Right.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has given crypto enthusiasts a glimmer of hope for the future of digital assets in the country, which have been under threat from the recent push to ban cryptocurrencies and mining. Yeah, and you know, I've said this before. I think this is like there's a really strong case for Putin to and Russia to be in favor of cryptocurrencies, especially when you have foreign governments trying to threatening them. According to analysts, in spring of 2021, the price of electricity in Russia was 0.06 kilowatts an hour for household use and 8 cents for businesses. To compare, in France, 1 kilowatt of electricity costs 20 cents.
Wow. I think it's like 14 or 15 cents in New Hampshire, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But it's
expensive
not,
here.
It's definitely not where it's definitely not a place where you'd want to mine usually.
Right. But he's saying it's a fraction of that over there.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right. Right. Let's see here. 1 kilowatt electricity is 20 cents for households and 14 cents for businesses. Wait, what?
That's, yeah, well, and you know what? If you're buying their surplus, you could probably get a discount.
That's interesting. That's what I would think, but usually it's the other way around. That's actually interesting. If they're just not writing this incorrectly, France actually does what makes the most sense. It's giving you a discount for surplus, mm-hmm. but usually, I'm sorry, not surplus, but they give you a discount for most, usually businesses, they charge more for electricity.
That's what they said
in most places.
The Russian businesses were 8 cents.
Right. That's true in Russia, but in France, they're saying the opposite. Hmm. It's cheaper for businesses than it is for householders.
Wow, that's interesting.
Hmm. Well, they have a lot of, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but they have a lot of nuclear energy. So I've heard that.
That's right. In France, they do. You're right.
Energy is really cheap. I mean, is more cheap there. So
it should be. Apparently, there's the central bank that had come out with some sort of a report that said they were wanting to completely prohibit Bitcoin mining or any crypto mining. And also exchanges. And so now Putin is pushing back against that, saying not so fast.
Yeah, basically the Russian central bank just published a report proposing a blanket ban on domestic crypto trading and mining. The report states that the risks of crypto are much higher for emerging markets, including Russia. Okay, I have to laugh at that. Emerging, they're considering Russia an emerging market.
Power.
Right. Aren't they like number two in the world? Like it was the United States versus the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. I mean, to call them a emerging market just sounds insane. Russia's central bank has had concerns regarding crypto for some time now. In December of 2021, the Central Bank of Russia governor Elvira Nabulina said, I'm going to butcher these names. I always do. We cannot welcome investments into cryptocurrency. So, on Wednesday, Russian Finance Minister Ivan Chebeskov responded with opposition to the proposed blanket ban, calling for regulation rather than restriction. Putin conceded that expanding the use of crypto carries certain risks given its high volatility. Well, you know what's interesting about that is I hear that there is I hate to call it a stable coin, but a true apparently cryptocurrency that is a stable coin that has been forked from Monero, and I don't really know anything about it at this point.
Haven,
but
is that what it's called?
I believe so, yeah. Which kind of begs the question, where is crypto going to go if there's actually something that is really a cryptocurrency and it has more stability to it? All those concerns that people have, all the criticisms that people have about cryptocurrencies, they kind of go out the window.
Yeah, because that would be so permissionless. It's supposed to be a decentralized exchange that sells.
Maybe you guys know more about it than I do.
I know a little bit about it. I'm not allowed to use crypto, but I'm still following it closely because
sure,
I'm fascinated by these developments.
You're not prohibited from having a newspaper.
Correct. Well, they don't cover this stuff in the newspapers, but I can go to news.bitcoin.com and read about stuff.
Sure.
So it's interesting. They have these algorithmic stablecoins. We actually touched on these last night on the air, and this one that you're talking about, the Monero fork called Haven, is one of these algorithmic stablecoins.
So I'm going to Ottawa right now, actually driving. I was going to tell you guys, I don't know how if the audience knows too much about this because it's a Canadian thing, really. What the government, the federal government, was going to do is mandate truckers, if they cross the international border, so from going to the U.S., mm-hmm. coming back to Canada, if they're not vaccinated, they would have to isolate themselves for 14 days before they can pick up loads and do anything else, which would basically mean their money is gone, right? Like they're going to have to quit jobs and stuff for those 14 days. It started as that, and then now it's become more of to get rid of mandates for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is good, mandated vaccines, mandate QR codes. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but in Canada, to go into a restaurant, movie theater, lots of, you know, indoor spaces, you actually have this vaccine passport.
Oh my God. Is it the whole of Canada? Is it every province, every territory?
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to be quoted on that. It could be a Google thing. You could see. For sure it's in BC.
Is their plan to block the streets? What is it that they're going to do?
I don't know if their plan... I don't know what their exact plan is. I just know that they want to stay there until the mandates are lifted.
I mean, that's huge, so, right? Because there's not going to be enough motel space or whatever. The truckers can sleep in their own cabs.
Yeah.
So
that's probably not an issue for the truckers.
Yeah.
At least not long-haul truckers.
Although I understand that there are a lot of people just driving regular trucks and cars, backing them up. So it's not all, you know, big rigs that are doing this. But what have you seen? Have you seen the videos online? I've heard some people say that the convoy was as much as 70 kilometers in length at one point. Some estimated as many as 3,000 trucks could be in a convoy that was that long. What do you think?
Yeah, so I have seen 70 kilometers. The old record I know was an Egypt truck convoy of 7.5 kilometers.
Wow.
I know for sure that's been broken.
Okay.
That's been broken for sure. But I don't know exactly the number. The number that I am consistently hearing is 70 kilometers, though. There's a lot of video online. I know you don't have Facebook. Aria does. I'm not sure if Bonnie does. But if you go and search, like, Convoy 2022 or something like that, you'll see there's 800,000 people. It's a public one. That's the official one. And if you honestly want your phones to blow up, if you put a post on there saying, hey, we're Free Talk Live, we're pro-freedom, blah, 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 you know, you're going to get... a lot of people calling about what's going on. Just so you know,
nice.
It's Freedom Convoy 2022 Canadian.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I'm Sam, I'm 10, and I'm here to say that vaccine mandates and mask mandates are bad. If you go to the CVS and go to get a vaccine and ask what's in it, they're going to give you a blank piece of paper. If you go to a local public school and look at the kids, they're all wearing masks. It's a psyops. The government is making people scared. I think it's wrong.
Now, I have to ask, Sam, are you reading that off of like a prepared statement?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
You actually wrote it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, nice. Now, you talked about the government schools. Do you go to a government school?
No, I'm homeschooled.
Nice.
Nice, yeah.
Nice. All right, so are you, may I ask you this, how did you find Free Talk Live?
By a friend.
A friend? Okay, because you're a little out of our typical demographic, but I'm glad to hear that you're listening, and I'm glad to hear that that you're interested in calling in and sharing your thoughts.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You seem very well-spoken. What was it that, like, where were you when all this started? Were you living in the Seacoast, or were you living somewhere else, and you kind of migrated here with your parents?
No. I was living in Berkeley, California.
Oh, my God. What a huge difference.
You probably know more about it than we do.
Before the mask mandate in Portsmouth indoors, nobody really wore a mask. If you went downtown, you know, you would see people outside with a mask. But if you went into Hannaford, you know, not much people are wearing masks. A lot of people are not wearing masks.
Well, that's good to know. I know Portsmouth is like Keene, and they're both sort of pretty liberal cities as far as the people that that live in them. But it's definitely a less liberal place than Berkeley, California. So I'm glad to hear that it was such a positive move. And I'm glad to hear that your parents got you out of the government school system. Because sadly, the kids at the government schools in New Hampshire, it seems like they're still being forced to wear masks. So I don't know if there's any kind of exit out of that besides getting your kids out of government school. So kudos to you.
I mean, is that... That can't be all throughout all of New Hampshire, because there's been so much fighting with that.
Maybe
right?
Not the North Country or something like that, but around here, that's the way it is. And Keene. And east.
I believe it in Keene.
In the Seacoast, it is as well, from what I understand. They're arresting people at school board meetings for not wearing masks out in Timberland School District. So
yeah, and I'm conscious of that. And here's the thing, like, I'm not following it really deeply, but I'm on, like, Telegram groups and Matrix groups and things like that, talking about it, right?
It's so bad, Chris, that right now there's a bill in front of the New Hampshire State House that would actually prohibit school boards from mandating masks.
Right, and I'm aware of that bill, too.
Do you know what Jacobin Mag is?
No.
As I understand it, it is a hard leftist publication. So I don't know if they're straight up communist.
I kind of almost feel like that would make them pro Bitcoin if it's hard left. Like, anything that's usually like on the fringes seems to.
Yeah, I always thought that cryptocurrency could be very appealing to people on the left.
Yep.
If you are someone who actually believes in helping the little guy,
right?
Which is a lot of people on the left. They want to help the poor. They want to help the sick. They want to help people like that, right? They want the little guy to have an even playing field or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know a lot of people on the left that have crypto stuff on their like websites to make donations or you know accept payment, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately there's a lot of pressure from part of the left to attack cryptocurrency. That's why they say it's not good for the for the earth or whatever. Oh, too much power.
Yep. Yeah, there was this ridiculous article that came out saying that cryptocurrency is racist.
Wait, what?
They've got all this incredibly ridiculous attacks.
So sense.
You know that these are the status quo leftists, right? These people that they're already in power. They like being in power, and they
like giving power to the big guys more than the little guys.
Yeah, and they know how to scare off the average leftist. Just tell them it's going to hurt the environment, and they're going to be
racist.
Against it. Cryptocurrency blockchains generally don't allow previously verified transactions to be deleted or altered. The data is immutable.
Why would you want to be able to delete it or alter? That would be manipulation, and that's bad for, economics.
Updates are added by chaining a new block of transaction data to the chain of existing blocks. But then he's kind of explaining what a blockchain does there. And again, that's true.
And I don't get how it's, bad.
Oh, he's got more to say.
This is like coming out against accountability, right? Like,
and
theoretically, like, isn't that what socialists want? Is accountability? I mean, how do you have a government like be pro government and then not want accountability in the government, right?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, ultimately, the people who were communists who did get in control of a government, like the Russian communists, they did not want accountability.
Right.
They did not want transparency.
Of course not.
They'd shoot you if you disagreed with them, right? You're going off to the gulag work camp, and you're probably going to die in the sub-zero temperatures because they're not going to give you any boots.
It just sounds so hypocritical to me.
Of course it is. But going on. But to ensure the integrity of the blockchain, the network needs a way to trust that new blocks are accurate. Popular cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Dogecoin all employ a proof-of-work consensus method for verifying updates to the blockchain. And for their troubles, he writes, miners collect a reward for being the first to verify the next block. The Bitcoin blockchain adds a new block every 10 minutes. It's on an average. It's sometimes longer, sometimes not so long. And the block reward is currently 6.25 newly minted Bitcoins, worth nearly $500,000 at Bitcoin's last all-time high, which was around $68,000 a piece. Competition for block rewards has led to a computing power arms race as prices have risen. Mining Bitcoins on a personal computer is no longer feasible. The majority of cryptocurrency mining is... Oops, sorry about that, Chris. Go ahead.
I don't know about that. I mean, you can still mine. You just have to be part of a pool.
Yeah, but you do have to have special equipment. You can't just plug a laptop in and
do
Bitcoin
mining. But
is
it millions of dollars? It's not unfeasible.
No, it's not millions of dollars. It's hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, you do need powerful hardware. I mean, for it to have any kind of worth to you, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have specialized mining tools.
Again, that's just Bitcoin, though, not necessarily other cryptocurrencies. Other cryptocurrencies are easier to
do. That's true.
On,
yeah, Monero, I think you can use a laptop.
And he did say at the beginning that this was about all cryptocurrencies.
He did. So he goes on. He says the majority of cryptocurrency mining is now conducted using commercial mining farms, essentially huge warehouses running thousands of high-powered computer processors day and night. The electricity expended mining Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies is rapidly approaching 1% of global usage. when you say it's inefficient.
To mine, I mean, it's supposed to be inefficient.
It's costly.
It's costly, which is a sort of inefficiency.
But it's efficient in that you make more. Like, if it wasn't worth doing, you wouldn't do it.
It's
right?
worth
like,
doing not because of how efficient it is so much as because it's a limiting. Like, the inefficiency is limiting.
Makes it rarer.
Right, right, exactly. So
well, some miners are more efficient than others. So you can buy a mining rig
Sure, but we're talking about something different at that point, I think.
Well, I think what he's referring to is that when you get a Bitcoin and you spend the Bitcoin, it's going to cost you 0.00.
Okay, so the efficiency of the transaction.
I think that's what he's referring
to. Okay, which also doesn't make sense, but maybe for different reasons.
So the point that I wanted to make about this is that, yes, there is a fee in order to spend your cryptocurrency. In fact, there's a fee when you spend your credit cards and you spend your debit cards. And the fee, in most cases, is much higher. There's a fee when you do a wire transfer. And in every single cryptocurrency's case, except Ethereum, the fees are much, much lower than a wire transfer to transact money.
There's a fee called taxes whenever you use U.S. dollars.
That's true, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of hidden fees when it comes to U.S. dollars that people don't understand because they don't see it. Like, they don't see it as a separate, like taxes you'll see on the bottom of your sheet, but they don't show the hidden taxes and of using the using the fiat currency, right? Just like people use the US dollar to commit or in the process of scamming somebody, they use cryptocurrency.
I think people
most of these scams that occur with cryptocurrency were happening before cryptocurrency, or before Bitcoin was created, right?
Well,
there were
that's not what this guy is claiming. He's claiming it is a scam because in the title he said it's a giant Ponzi scheme.
He's saying it's fundamentally a scam because they're taking fees and because lots of electricity and so on and so forth. But of course, not all cryptocurrencies use a lot of
Visa
electricity.
Is a scam? I mean, because they also charge a fee.
He might say that, actually.
Again, MasterCard is a scam? Is the bank a scam because the bank charges you up or 1% to deposit cash?
Great question. I mean, he would be against those things too.
What, does he only want the government to deposit bread in a bread line to people and nobody can use money to exchange goods?
It wouldn't surprise me, right? Like the true communist vision of a lot of them is to eliminate money entirely, so of course he would be against money.
You know what's humorous about this is that communists, like during the Soviet Union, they actually had was it the ruble? I don't know if it was called the ruble.
Whatever it was.
But they had money. They had dirty fiat, right? Just like the capitalists did.
Yeah. Whenever is a central bank going to abolish itself? Like the whole vision of communism is, we only need the government temporarily, and then we're going to abolish the government, and it will be true paradise on earth. Everyone will share everything from each according to his ability to each according to his need. We see the dollar going down. The average person doesn't. The average person sees the price of gold was $300 an ounce 2 decades ago, and now it's $1,800.
Right. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it doesn't really do what gold does. If it did,
yes, you're right. It goes up much faster.
Right. Which in some sense that kind of.
I think it's just because everybody who's going to be in the market is in it yet. New people are joining all the time. It's a new thing. It's not. I mean, gold.
So
is
it hasn't
ancient.
Found its level.
Yeah, it hasn't levered. It hasn't leveled out. I think that's probably a good way to describe it and explains why. Whereas gold, everybody who's into it is already into it, and they're not gaining people. Whereas cryptocurrency is the demand is increasing because more and more people get on every day.
But what?
It should stable out.
Okay, but what about the greater fool theory that he's talking about? Because this gets brought up by a lot of people, not just leftists. It gets brought up by like the old money people who want to attack Bitcoin, that love the banks and love the old system.
Explain what it is.
So he talks about it here. So the idea is investors attempt to profit on overvalued or worthless assets by selling them on to the next greater fool.
Okay, so this is not exclusive to Bitcoin. We have the same problem with real estate, right?
headline, The Central Bank of Crypto. This isn't some big secret. He says in a widely circulated 2017 paper, researchers attributed over half of the then recent rise in Bitcoin's price to purchases made by a single entity on Bitfinex, a cryptocurrency exchange headquartered in Hong Kong and registered in the Virgin Islands. These purchases were timed to buoy the price of Bitcoin during market downturns in a way that so strongly indicated market manipulation, the authors found it inconceivable that such trading patterns could happen or could occur by happenstance. Critically, these purchases were not made with dollars, but with Tether, another type of cryptocurrency known as a stablecoin, because its price is pegged to the dollar so that one Tether is always worth $1. Many offshore cryptocurrency exchanges lack access to traditional banking, presumably because banks deem doing business with them too risky. Bitfinex, which shares a parent company and executive team with Tether Limited, which is the issuer of its namesake crypto, struggled to find U.S. banking partners after Wells Fargo abruptly stopped processing wire transfers between the exchange's Taiwanese banks and their American customers in 2017 without giving reason. This was a problem. Without traditional banking relationships for issuing wire transfers, exchanges cannot easily facilitate trades between buyers and sellers on their platforms. Someone has to pass cash between buyers and sellers. Stablecoins solve this problem by standing in for actual real dollars.
The other day, the Biden administration announced that, I'm not sure if you guys covered this or not, but they announced that they're going to, for national security reasons, they're going to, through executive fiat, they're going to start regulating Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies.
They did say that. Yeah, we're still waiting on the fiat itself, on the executive order, supposedly within the next few weeks.
Well, you can, leftists are like the Borg. You know, they're like the hive mind or whatever. So I don't know if it's coordinated or what, but just be prepared because over the next few weeks and months, every left-leaning newspaper, network on TV, they're going to start doing hit pieces on Bitcoin.
Well,
haven't
Bitcoin
they already
is,
started?
Yeah. Maybe it's already started.
They,
it might
they've
get
been
crazy,
doing this
though.
For a little while now, like, I don't know, a week or months at least.
Years.
Like,
they've been hitting Bitcoin for years.
Have,
but when this comes out, I think it's going to be really big.
I feel like they've ramped it up recently with, like, the environmental aspects of it that they've brought in. They've really started ramping it up on the environment. You know, before they were talking about other stuff, but now it's like, you know, a little bit, but now it's like super over the top kind of stuff.
Well, Bitcoin has survived this constant onslaught for years, and if they ramp it up, it's just going to mean more attention to Bitcoin.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.